It's Your Money with the Investor Coach, Paul Nichols, the show that pulls back the curtain on the financial services industry and exposes the truth about the traditional financial planning model. Paul believes education plus understanding leads to clarity and confidence that can and will lead to peace of mind. He uses simple solutions grounded in academic research from leading financial minds at Harvard, Yale, Princeton, and the University of Chicago, including several Nobel laureates. You do not need to know everything if you have an investor coach teaching you the few right things. Paul Nichols is the president of Financial Abundance, a registered investment advisor. He is a member of the National Ethics Bureau, the Better Business Bureau, and member of Strategic Coach Quarterly. Get ready for some common sense clarity coaching with the investor coach, Paul Nichols.
Welcome to the show. This is your host, Paul Nichols. You're listening to It's Your Money, the radio show that pulls back the curtain on the financial services industry and exposes the truth about money and investing. I hope this finds you well. It is a holiday season and that time when hopefully many of you are looking at your budgets and starting to think about the new year coming up. And I have a very special guest, someone that I've been working on for a while to try to get in here, and his schedule is just extraordinarily busy. But you guys are in for a real treat today. I have a special guest, Leonard Rainier. We call him Lynn. Lynn Rainier is the founder of Wealth and Wisdom, Wealth and Wisdom Institute. He is a president of Rainier & Associates and has 30 years' experience in the financial services industry. His book, Learning to Avoid Unintended Consequences, has been on the publisher's bestseller list for 3 years. And his latest book, Sudden Impact, has received the same honor for the last 11 months. Lynn has served on the advisory committee for the Department of Finance and Wayne State University. He's also served on the finance committee as a consultant for many major corporations, and for 2 years he was a speaker at the Fed Reserve of Chicago, Money Smart Week, and one of the highest rated presenters there. Leonard also trained hundreds of financial planners across the country, which is how I met Lynn. He is tied into a mastermind group that I go to in San Diego with some other professionals. And he's created Wealth and Wisdom as an educational organization with the intent of growing a group of professionals across the country who are deeply concerned about the path we are headed and the impact it will have on everyone's future. And I would be a member of that growing organization that certainly is concerned about the future. Wealth and Wisdom is the centerpiece for thought-provoking messages. It identifies the problems we'll be facing in the future, and it lays out the need for education and knowledge. Lynn, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Paul. How you doing?
I'm doing great, and I really appreciate you getting on. I know your schedule's incredibly hectic with the Wealth and Wisdom, the way it's exploding, and the knowledge that you're sharing with people, which is it's almost common sense, you know, but, you know, there's so much minutia out there in this industry that it's hard to discern what's real and what's not real, which is why I'm so excited to have you on the show. I've read your books, I've seen your material, and I'm a big fan. And I thought that it would be best coming from your lips to the listeners' ears, you know, tell them the same stuff I've been sharing. But let's start with I guess we've explained who you are, Wealth and Wisdom. Let's talk about some of the challenges you see moving forward in the financial arena, Lynn.
Well, Paul, the vast majority of people are troubled and confused about the economy. They've been bombarded by the media and bullied by salespeople, and they're bewildered by the millions of things they feel they need to know. Over the past several years, all the lessons they learned about their finances has failed them, and they know they can't live on much longer on 4 or 5% rates returned. Yet they're scared and hesitant to make the crucial decisions necessary to survive in today's financial jungle. And the problem, Paul, is this. 90 million Americans are in the same boat. What we want to do in the next few minutes and the next time we have together here is to shed some light on the darkness. We want to analyze the problem as carefully as we can, with the hopes that the listeners will have a clearer view of the choices open to them and help them make better life decisions.
I know that the challenges that a lot of people face, they're not even aware of, Glenn, and, you know, or Lynn. It's not even a matter of unintended consequences for a lot of people. I mean, that's the result of it, but they really just are clueless as to what's going on right now. Why don't you shed some light on some of the challenges that we face moving forward?
Well, the challenges that we face are of two different types. Some are internal, and some of the challenges are external. Some of the external challenges that we're facing are coming from the government and the way they are spending money right now. To give you an example, back in 2000, there was $829 billion in circulation in the United States. That's it. That was all the currency in circulation. Today, there is $1.7 trillion in circulation. And in a very short period of time, we have doubled the amount of money in the on the streets. I equivalent that to something like a stock split. If we had a stock that was worth $100 and it split 2-for-1, the value of that stock would be $50, not $100.
Correct.
So we're having a difficult time facing the future with the number of dollars that we're putting out into the circulation without any increase in the GDP, and we might be down the road facing some type of inflationary problems that come along with that.
Now, is this what you shared with us is fiat money, Lynn?
Yeah. Fiat money is money that is not backed by any type of precious metal like gold or silver. We got off the silver standard back in 64, and since then it has allowed the government to print as many dollars without any money backing as they want to. The problem is that creates some type of instability in our financial lives, and it creates inflation automatically.
Mm-hmm.
The problem is that the number $2,718 billion was the amount of new credit expansion in the United States alone last year. And that came with no increase in savings and no increase in incomes. And now, over the past 150 days, the government has earmarked and spent almost $4.2 trillion in the last 150 days itself. And right now, the government is on a pace for spending $2 billion an hour. What is really scary about this, and there's been some talk about this now, is that the unfunded liabilities that is owed by the federal government is $62 trillion.
Wow.
And we have to understand what a trillion is. $1 trillion is a lot of money. In fact, $62 trillion is three times the amount of printed money on the planet. How in the world are we ever going to pay that off? Well, we have to understand what a trillion is, and it's difficult to get it out of the people in Washington, because we had asked this question to some Congress people and some senators, and I said, what comes after a trillion? One of them, very prominent, said $4 trillion. Another one said a gazillion. and they don't know. But if you and I were to start counting today to a trillion, like 1, 2, 3, 4, and going all the way to a trillion, it would take us 190,000 years to get there.
Wow.
So if we were to take $1 bills and lay them out side by side from where your office is all the way out to the moon and back, it would happen 22 times. That's $1 trillion.
Wow. Put it in perspective.
They don't have any conception, or we don't have any conception, of what they're throwing around $1 trillion for this and $1 trillion for that, new health care, new programs that they're bringing in. You have to understand this. Some of the external problems we're facing is this. We have a declining workforce, an aging population, and an inability to save by that workforce. In fact, according to the GAO, we are saving at the lowest level in our history since 1934 during the Great Depression. So I just don't think, from a common sense approach, that we will be able to continue to spend the money with a declining workforce and an aging population. In fact, according to the government, each family of four in the United States to pay off this debt owes the federal government $700,676, and that's without health care.
Wow. It's mind-boggling. And then you look at the demographic. I've talked about one of your elves on the show before, the demographic, and how that's going to affect people. And very few people are talking about that, Lynn, the demographic aspect.
Well, that aspect hasn't, that shoe hasn't dropped yet.
Right.
The crisis that we just went through with the banking and stuff, that was a worldwide crisis. And we haven't felt the demographic shift crisis yet. In fact, according to the former Comptroller General of the United States, the chief accountant of the United States government, David Walker, he said this, the average 45-year-old couple in the United States today can expect $884,000 in future benefits from the government. And that's without health care. With health care, it will be over $1 million per married couple in the United States. That's the unfunded liability of the government and its programs. We don't have the workforce or the productivity to sustain that. And that's the scary thing about my age. At my age, I'm going to get through life, but I'm really concerned about my children and my grandchildren and what they will have to do to compete in the future world marketplace.
Well, you know, this information is right from sources in the government, like David Walker, the former comptroller. I mean, it seems to be, is the information being squelched? I mean, you're in some of these think tanks and see what's going on. What's the reaction with these guys and gals?
Well, and the first thing is a lot of them don't want to confront the problems that we're facing because they don't get elected that way. But the problems that we're facing, I guess it's better to know what's going on in Hollywood. I mean, we're a tabloid society.
Mm-hmm.
We're a 15-second soundbite society. And to explain the problems out in detail takes a lot of time. And the attention span, I'm afraid, of the average American doesn't allow that to happen.
Well, and the sources they get the information from, too, Lynn.
Right. You know, and that's what my position at Wayne State University, when we were doing the demographic findings for the university and looking at how it's going to impact everybody in the future financially, I started 7 years ago looking at the government websites. Now, I'll tell you what, it wasn't difficult to get this information that I just gave to you. In fact, in my book, Sudden Impact, on page 59, it says, the collapse of the housing bubble will throw the economy into a recession and quite likely a severe one.
Mm-hmm.
The Center for Economic and Policy Research predicts worse, saying the bubble burst would mean the loss of 5 to 6 million jobs. And consumers have used cash-out mortgages for everything from new kitchens to college tuition.
Mm-hmm.
A final nightmare scenario, a federal bailout of the mortgage market is likely if housing crashes. So if corporate pension funds continue to falter and the dire prediction about housing comes true, the Fed could conceivably end up holding your mortgage and your pension. We wrote that 4 years ago.
Mm-hmm. That's happened, right close to happening.
In the same book, we discussed this point. Knowing full well of the challenges that are coming, the government has positioned itself as a save-all, cure-all safety net for businesses, banks, and other financial institutions. Don't be alarmed, but the government's solution to any disaster is you, the taxpayer. Watch for increasing government control in different sectors of the economy. See, that was 4 years ago. Now, we know that the demographic impact is going to have a dramatic change in everybody's personal financial life, because we do have an aging population, and the demographics in our country are saying this. According to the 2000 census, the average woman reaching the age of 65 is going to live another 19.9 years. The average male is going to live 17.7. And unfortunately, we're living longer, and maybe if they get government health care in there, they can fix that. But the point is that the government is going to be shelling out more for their benefits. Is that bullet point I gave you, $884,000 for the average 45-year-old couple is what can be expected to be paid out. We just can't sustain that.
No, we can't sustain it. And especially the question is, you know, I heard something a long time ago an old man told me. He says, you know, who's born at the same time the guy is that is expecting the entitlement to provide it?
Yeah,
you know, who's born at the same time, and you know, and that's really what we're getting into, a situation where the people that are paying, you know, 50% of the tax, 50% of the entitlement, or 100% of the entitlements go to 50% of the bottom taxpayers. They don't even pay any taxes.
Well, that's it. 43% of our workforce currently are zero liability taxpayers.
Yeah. So.
And so, when the government throws out a benefit and says, "What does everybody think about this?" and especially you, 43% that won't have to pay for it. Well, they say, yeah, bring it on. Give it to me.
Yeah, absolutely. We got to take a break here. Boy, the time flies. We are talking to Leonard Rainier, the founder of Wealth and Wisdom Institute, a gentleman who really is not only has a very strong understanding of the financial services industry, and he's been in it 30 years, but has a unique perspective that he's attained over the last several years, and has written a couple best-selling books, Unintended Consequences and Sudden Impact. We're going to take a break, and we'll be right back with Lynn. This is Paul Nichols with It's Your Money, the show that pulls back the curtain on the financial services industry and exposes the truth about money and investing. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the show. This is Paul Nichols, the investor coach. And we're talking to best-selling author and globally recognized, I should say nationally recognized author and really instructor, teacher, educator, as well as financial planner, Lynn Rainier. Lynn, we left off the last segment talking about challenges and taxes and unfunded liability and the comptroller and these types of issues. We want to talk a little bit about myths and realities now and really get into what do you see the government's plan is, and what can the average fella or lady out there do to prepare when they're armed with this kind of knowledge?
Well, what we have to do is study traditional thinking and what the way we're being marketed to what to do into the future. You see, what we're discovering is, in many cases, the average person is transferring away most of their wealth to those who create the situation, control the outcome, and profit from it. Now, that's right off the cover of our book, but it almost sounds what the government is currently doing. They're creating the situation or the crisis, they're controlling the outcomes, and they will profit from it. The Comptroller General, the former Comptroller General of the United States, David Walker, said, "We are heading for a future where we're going to have to double federal taxes or cut federal spending by 60%. Which of those two do you think your elected official is going to do?" And Alan Greenspan said, in some of his closing remarks lately, said, "As a nation, we made promises to coming generations that we just can't keep." So behind all of these problems, that the external problems, are the problems of how is somebody going to survive in their everyday lives. There are two defining moments that you must understand, all your listeners must understand. If they don't remember anything, please remember this. The first two defining moments of our new book say this: your money will never be worth more than it is today due to inflation. At 4% inflation, $1,000 today will have the buying power of $411 30 years from now. And I remember gas at 18 cents a gallon, not a cup. And so inflation has a way of eroding our money because we have fiat money in our nation. Your money will never be worth more than it is today. Defining moment number two is this. This is probably going to be the lowest tax bracket you'll be in for the rest of your life, today. Now let's take those two first defining moments and put them together. Your money will never be worth more than it is today, and this is the lowest tax bracket you'll be in for the rest of your life. Why is traditional thinking telling you to try to take as many of today's dollars as you can, throw it as far into the future as you can, where it will have less buying power and be taxed the most? And how long do you want to keep doing that? You see, there are myths and realities with traditional thinking. Let me give you a quick test here and see what your listeners think. If you had $1,000 today and you saw an investment that said, the portfolio said, the prospectus said that it could average 20% rate of return for 2 years, and you put $1,000 into that investment, how much would you have at the end of 2 days, at 2 years?
$1,400. Yeah.
$1,440, $1,280, $800, or nothing. $1,000 in, it averaged 20% for 2 years, how much would you have? $1,440, $1,280, $800, or nothing. The correct mathematical answer is $1,440. That's 20% the first year, 20% the second year, and that averages out to be 20%. Now, math is a science, isn't it?
Yes.
2 plus 2 can't be 6, 5, 4, 8, 9 all at the same time. Math only has one answer. So $1,440 was correct, but $1,280 is also correct. You see, according to the prospectus, it averaged 20% for 2 years. Answer B, at $1,280, this person got a 60% rate of return the first year, lost 20% the second year. That investment still averaged 20%. The prospectus is right, Mad Kramer's right, Money Magazine is right, but you have less money. Now, C is also right, $800. You see, I bought some property down in Florida, and in 1 year, it doubled. It went up 100%. And then, according to the prospectus, they averaged 20% every year for the last 10 years. The second year I owned it, those things called hurricanes came along,
mm-hmm.
sort of messed up the property, put the furniture in the pool and moved the roof a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And in the second year, that investment went down 60%. Although I doubled my money the first year, I lost 60% the second year. I still averaged 20%, but I only have $800.
Mm-hmm.
So if all three of those are true, let's look at D, zero. 3 years ago, there was a lot of prospecting going on out in Las Vegas. They were flipping properties like crazy. You had to get in line just to buy one to flip it 2 weeks later. The investment on those properties in the first year made 140%. Then everybody got wise, and in the second year, it lost 100%, which is everything. So they averaged 140% the first year, lost 100% or everything the second year, but that still averaged to be 20%. See, rates of return don't mean anything. They can be misleading and misunderstood. So you can't put a rate of return on your deposit ticket and hope that the bank will give you money. And we are being marketed 24/7 on rates of return that we totally don't understand. And that's the amazing part. To give you an idea of what I'm talking about, the Dow Jones Industrial Averages since 1929, if you had put $1,000 in it, and the average of the average from 1929 through 2008 is 6.31%. If you had put $1,000 in 1929, you'd have $133,000 in cash. 6.31% of rate of return. That's the average of the average. If you were actually in the market every day, you'd have $29,000 and a 4% average, and that's a big difference. See, the way it says in the prospectus and what you actually get at the end of the day is totally different, almost 60% different than that's being marketed to us. The other thing is that people are really concerned about, not only has their confidence been shaken to the core over the past several years, they have an uncertainty in the marketplace, an inability to save, and they're worried about increasing taxes into the future and the buying power of their dollar. Let me give you an example of the buying power of a dollar. If I had $1 today, what is the rate of return I would need in 365 days to have the same buying power? Well, we have to ask ourselves a question. Listen, what does that dollar have to go through to earn money, to make it, you know, so that it still has the same value 1 year later? Well, it would have to go through perhaps 15% capital gains taxation. It would have to go through 4% inflation and 6% depreciation. Now, wait a minute, man, I never heard of this depreciation thing. Well, let me explain that. In the inflation factors that are put out by the government, 13 factors are considered. A couple of major factors aren't,
mm-hmm.
like owning a home and taxes you pay.
Mm-hmm.
And those are the two things that eat up most of your money.
Mm-hmm.
So if we consider a dollar has to pass through all these things, 15% capital gains taxation, inflation, and depreciation, you would have to earn 12.8% on your money to have the same buying power just 365 days later. Now let's look at what we have been told to do. We should invest our money into the stock market, and the stock market over the last 10 years is yielding something like 1%, and we're not even keeping up with that 12.8% that we need just to have the same buying power 1 year later. That is the amazing thing that we have to understand about our money. And if given a choice, Paul, if I gave you a choice today, would you want to put all your money in a 100% taxable situation, an income tax or capital gains taxable situation, or something that is tax-free?
Well, tax-free, obviously. That's what I'm putting most of my money in now.
Yeah, let me ask you a question then. Why is 98% of all the planners out there in America today pointing you in the wrong direction?
You know what? I've often wondered that, Lynn. I talk about it every week because traditional planning has failed in this country miserably, in my opinion.
It has. You know, unfortunately, traditional planning is not a science, and anybody that says it is not telling you the truth. The reality of it is most of these things that they're pointing to have create taxes into the future. 401ks, IRAs, pension plans, qualified plans, mutual funds, bank savings programs, CDs, stocks, annuities. The tax-free element that's right in front of us that we don't see, the rich understand this very clearly.
Absolutely.
So So what we have to do is we have to understand how our money works for us. And if I was to give you a pure litmus test, I'm going to ask you about 2 minutes of questions here.
Okay.
And we're going to design the most perfect investment we can.
Okay.
Number one, if you're building the most perfect investment, Paul, would you like a lot of risk involved in that?
No risk at all, if I can.
Yeah. Would you like some guarantees on this investment you're creating?
Preferably.
Yeah. And would you want to build in some penalties because you know you're not going to live up to what you want?
So well, I wouldn't want penalties if I could help it.
Yeah, I'd forget those. Would you like to have liquidity use control of that investment?
It's paramount.
Yes. Would you like to have it protected from creditors?
If possible.
Yep. And would you like to use leverage, meaning put in the least amount of money to create the most amount of benefit?
It's the key to success, in my opinion.
That's right. We're almost done. Would you like to have it grow tax deferred?
No, sir.
Well, given the choices.
I wanted to have it tax-free, but tax deferred would be the next best thing, I guess.
That'd be the next best thing. Would you want it to be distributed tax-free?
If possible, yeah, absolutely. That'd be, yeah, definitely.
Would you want to be able to use this investment as collateral for things you want to do in your life today?
Goes back to the leverage thing, yes, sir.
Yes, sir. We're almost done. Would you want the payments to be tax deductible?
Yes.
And would you, in the event you became ill or got involved in an accident, would you want somebody else to make the payments for you?
Yeah, in an ideal world.
Yeah, it sounds like a government program, doesn't it? And then finally, if something really bad happened to you and you died, would you want it to come to your family tax-free?
Yes, I want my family to be taken care of.
That is what we call the litmus test on your money. And if we compare that to what you're doing in your life, if we ask those same questions of an IRA or a 401k, only two of the answers are favorable to you out of 12.
Mm-hmm.
What you just asked for, all 12 are favorable for you. And so this is what the rich look at first. They say, if we can create the perfect plan, if we can create the most perfect plan we can, what would it look like? And what is that plan? Well, you know what they do? They invest back into their family.
Mm-hmm.
And the problem is that the rich people have different sets of rules for their money than the average American. Let me give you three rules of the rich. Rule number one, they want to use the least amount of money to create the most amount of wealth. Rule number two is they want to guarantee the wealth will occur and the legacy to their family will transfer tax-free. And number three, they want to create multiples of wealth immediately by using leverage and controlling the asset.
That sounds like, yeah, definitely.
That is the key. They understand that the first and foremost investment that they can make is back into the family. See, we knew these lessons 100 years ago. The average family worked on a farm. The grandparents were there, their kids were there, and the grandkids were there. And the kids knew someday that farm was going to be there. They knew about legacy. They knew about values. They understood that if they built that farm better, that someday it was going to be theirs.
That's big in our area.
All that's disappeared.
Right.
Yet, the rich know that the most powerful thing that they can invest in as a tool is the family, because the government has a difficult time getting their fingers all over it.
Mm-hmm. They try.
And it's something that they own and control, and they pass on tax-free to their family.
You know,
the average...
Go ahead. Go ahead.
The average family is facing... There are 10 major transfers in the average family's life today. And these 10 transfers are taxes, qualified retirement plans, tax refunds, owning a home, credit cards, really financial planning, investments, purchasing cars, life insurance, and disability. Right in those 10 elements right there, we unknowingly and unnecessarily give away a lot of our wealth.
Mm-hmm.
And to give you an idea, if I was to sit down with somebody today and they had $100,000 of income, well, let's back it down for the average American, $75,000 of income in that household, and they were saving $5,000 a year, they would have $70,000 of what we call residual income. That money, that $70,000, goes to paying for food, clothing, sheltering, and paying taxes and getting by for the whole year.
Mm-hmm.
At the end of the year, they don't have much left, do they?
Mm-mm. No.
Look up extra money in the dictionary. It doesn't exist.
Right.
And so they spent all that money. I'm going to tell you that people unknowingly and unnecessarily give away most of their residual income. If I was to show somebody how to save just 1% of their residual income, it would be the equivalent to a 14% rate of return on the $5,000 that they were saving. a 14% rate of return. Did that just beat the 12.8 we needed?
Well, nobody, who's getting 14%? Come on.
Yeah. And so, now the funny thing is we do that internally in their lives, and there is no risk, and there is no taxation.
It's just a matter of them applying some education, right?
That's right. Common sense and some knowledge, some information. If we can give them more information, they will make better life decisions.
Absolutely. That's where, you know, we believe education will create clarity. And that's what our country is lacking. We don't have a lack of information, Lynn. We have a tremendous lack of clarity in this country.
Well, it's unfortunate because, like I said, the reason that we are failing is our lack of knowledge in the way we approach our financial future. We think that buying a product gives us more knowledge. Well, it doesn't. See, we believe here at the Institute that you need the knowledge first to buy the right product.
That's true. Knowledge is power. You know, we got to take a break here. I'm talking to Leonard Rainier out with the Wealth and Wisdom Institute. He's been kind enough to spend some time with us, and wow, what an eye-opener in our second segment here. We're going to take a quick break. We're going to come back. You're listening to Paul Nichols, the Investor Coach with It's Your Money. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the show. This is Paul Nichols, the Investor Coach and host of It's Your Money, the show that pulls back the curtain on the financial services industry and exposes the truth about money and investing. And once again, I have another wonderful interviewee coming on the show, as we've had the last few weeks with Congressman and Ben Nevigens at a Life Pro. Now we have Mr. Leonard Rainier, the president and founder of Wealth and Wisdom, who's just been pulling back the curtain this morning on issues that are certainly close to all of our hearts. We were talking about some of the challenges, demographics, taxes, unfunded liabilities, then got into some of the myths and realities of financial planning. And there is a lot of misinformation out there, as we talk about in our book, The Dirty Lies My Broker Taught Me. But what we want to do now with Lynn, because he's really has an incredible insight to what's going on, and he's written these best-selling books, which gives you even more insight because you get an opportunity to talk to more and more people. We want to talk a little bit about solutions and what people can do to prepare.
What you know today is going to determine where you will be at 5 to 10 years from now. Mm-hmm. Not the product you own, but what you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I understand some of this stuff that we've been talking about is rather scary, but let me ask you a question. If a pedophile has moved 3 doors down from you and you have children, is that scary? Is that too scary to know, or do you want to know that so you can better protect your family?
I would want to know.
Yeah, so we have to discuss some of the dark issues that are out there and some of the problems and challenges we're facing as a country and in our personal lives in order to be able to combat some of those things right away and face the problems we're having and protect ourselves even better.
Mm-hmm.
So we were talking about the 10 major transfers. I want to give you an example of what I'm talking about in a transfer. Here in Detroit, we're having a tremendous problem with foreclosures. We just received in the newspaper, 13 sections now, 9 pages each.
Wow.
Section, no advertising, 13 sections.
Oh, my goodness, that's unbelievable.
Foreclosure after foreclosure.
Wow.
After foreclosure. And this was just a listing of people that were losing their properties. The social fabric of our country is coming apart, not because of all these things, but let me take you down a little bit of a path where I'm really get passionate about, because we need to recapture the social fabric of our country to survive as a nation. The problem with most of the families breaking up in the United States today is from financial strife. 62% of the divorces today in America are because of financial strife. There are millions of one-parent households where children have one parent because of financial strife. And I feel I have an obligation to get this information out in front of you so you can make better life decisions. Let me give you an example in these transfers. The average I have two IRS agents come into my office and review all of our stuff every year, and we discuss these issues. And last year I asked them, what is the average refund of a taxpayer in the United States when they get a refund? And one of them says, right around $2,800 left. And I said, oh, that sounds like somebody that had tax exuberance and they couldn't help themselves. They simply had to pay too much. Now, what that is, Paul, is this. That's about $240 a month.
Mm-hmm.
I just have to question myself. Here's somebody that worked really hard, had an additional $240 a month put away that they can't get their fingers on, and their property is up for foreclosure. How many homes could have been saved simply because they didn't understand how to adjust the taxable event in their workplace for them?
Mm-hmm.
$240. How many families could be saved just because of one little thought process?
I agree with you totally.
It's amazing thing to discuss and look at.
Mm-hmm.
And then we look at some of the other transfers in someone's life. Is a tax-qualified retirement program a tax saving? Is it really a tax savings event?
No. It's a permanent tax lien on your retirement account.
It simply defers the taxation to a later date.
Mm-hmm.
Is that not correct?
That's correct.
If we remember the two defining moments, your money will never be worth more than it is today, and this is the lowest tax bracket. I mean, why are we putting money away to be taxed at a higher rate? We have to find some alternatives. Investing your family might be one of them, but you'd have to sit down with a professional and have that discussion with them. Now, I have to ask this question too, and I'm not telling people to do this, but when do you want to take money out of a qualified plan?
At the lowest tax bracket.
In the lowest tax bracket. When is that?
While you're still working.
It's right now.
Yes.
And if the government continues to spend money, according to his own chief accountant 2 years ago of the federal in the federal government, from the GAO, he said taxes will have to double, or spending in the United States will have to decrease by 60%. If taxes double and you're putting money into a qualified plan at a 25% tax bracket and taxes go to 50%, what happened to all your earnings?
That's right.
Now, what are the two guarantees in a qualified plan? Well, you're the only one at risk, and it will be taxed.
Mm-hmm.
And I look at young people signing up for these 401k programs today, and I ask them one question. Did you check the 30% guaranteed loss box or the 40% guaranteed loss box?
And they look at you puzzly, right?
Yeah, because the day they retire, the government is guaranteed their portion of that, regardless of the risk you took and how much money you put into that program.
That's right.
These are transfers of wealth in your life that we don't even think about. Owning a home is the most misunderstood American dream. I mean, we talk about these transfers, and we walk people through these transfers, and we recapture the money. Now, it is not uncommon for somebody making $100,000 a year of household income to sit down, look at these transfers, and uncover anywhere from $800 to $1,500 a month that they are unknowingly and unnecessarily giving away. And I'm not talking about clipping coupons and going without. I'm talking about just doing the wrong things the wrong way.
Mm-hmm.
Because you have been sold these products. You have, without understanding how they work, because you thought that buying this product was going to give you more knowledge and make you better off in your life. Again, the knowledge should come first so that you can make better life decisions.
And in fairness, you know, the advisors recommending this, which is the vast majority, Lynn, they're focused on accumulation rather than keeping the end in mind, and that is how's the estate going to be distributed. And that's really where the financial planning industry, I believe, drops the ball.
Well, unfortunately, we talk about the five major reasons why traditional thinking doesn't reach its goals. The accumulation factor is one of them. And because accumulation doesn't mean anything. I will tell you and all your listeners this. The stock market's going to go up.
Mm-hmm.
It must go up. It's common sense that the government is pouring $4.2 trillion into the marketplace. The volume in the marketplace, the accumulation of numbers in the marketplace is going to go up. But what is the value of that accumulation?
Mm-hmm.
Because the accumulation isn't going to be what it is today.
Mm-hmm. That's exactly the point. If you may have a big accumulation account, but if you have to pay 40% in tax, would it have been better to pay the tax ahead of time, have a larger account, but it's not taxable? And that's really...
Well, that's the point.
Yeah,
I'd
exactly.
I'd rather have a smaller account that was not taxable. And so I had to change my thinking, being in this business for 31 years. I had to change my thinking. The most important thing when I sit down with somebody or have a discussion with somebody is to create as many tax-free dollars in their life as we can. Forget the rate of return and the accumulation. It's the tax-free dollars that I'm looking at.
In result, that's what you're looking for, right? The actual buying power.
Well, that creates more buying power for somebody and more financial freedom in their life.
Mm-hmm.
And so when we're discussing these things, we have to take a look at that the government has plans for us in the future. Taxes are going to go up. Shoot, people don't know half of the taxes that they're considering. We know about cap and trade. Did you hear about the carbon tax?
Yes, I did a show on that, basically some information I shared from you a while back. Go ahead and brush on it real quick.
Yeah, the carbon tax has some interesting things in it. Now, number one, there would be a 50 cents a gallon of gas tax right away because, you know, we're all evil for driving our cars all over the place.
Right.
And number two, on page about 390 or 400 of that bill, and this hasn't been proposed yet, but it's on the desk, they say if your house is over 3,000 square feet, you lose the mortgage deduction.
That's ridiculous.
Is that a good surprise?
Yeah.
That's almost like there's the sugar tax, there's the carbon tax, there's the cap and trade tax. They're talking about a VAT tax, a surcharge tax on qualified plans. I mean, they are so desperate for money, they need to take over health care simply to get a 4-year shot in the arm so that we survive as a nation.
Well, it's
like this isn't about health care. This is about money flowing into their coffers before the actual benefit comes out so they can balance their books.
Yeah, and that's why I think they're offering the Roth conversion next year and the deferral of tax over 2 years. They need the tax revenue. They need it badly right now, the government. And I don't see it. Obviously, the demographics speak to it, and we don't see it going down. You know, I've never heard a rich politician, they stand up there and say tax the rich when they are one. Well, maybe they're not paying taxes.
Well, did you see this thing? The government, I just got this report yesterday, that in 2008 in the Department of Transportation, there was one person in that entire department that made $179,000. That was the highest paid person.
Mm-hmm.
500 days later, remember, there was one person making $179,000. 500 days later, there in the same department, there is 1,690 people making $179,000.
Unbelievable. That's unacceptable.
Where is the crisis? The average household in the United States, $43,000 income. The average income for a government worker is $79,000.
Wow. Boy, that's an eye-opener, huh, Lynn?
Where's the crisis?
You know,
are we beating up Wall Street people when the government is just feeding their pocketbooks with money?
And it's gonna keep getting bigger. But so we don't segue too much in bashing politics. Let's take the last, because both of us can do that. You know, let's take the last 4 minutes we have and let's talk about some sources. I'm all about education. You know that, Lynn. It's a pleasure spending time with you in San Diego a couple times, and I'll see you again. I'm big about education. What can we do to help our listeners in our different?
We got some good material out there. I have four books. The third one just made the publisher's bestsellers list. Defining Moment. The first book, Unintended Consequences, talks about the 10 major transfers in your life and how to recapture them, and why it's important. You are unknowingly and unnecessarily giving away your money, and if we can recapture that money, it's an amazing event. It's a defining moment in your life. You don't have to give away all that money. The second book, Sudden Impact, which is also on Infinity Publishing's bestsellers list, talks about the demographic shifts and the changes that are going to impact our lives tremendously in the next 3,000 days. We have been spot on right in this book.
Yes, you have. I've read it.
And the demographic shift still hasn't happened yet. It still has this little crisis, this little financial crisis where the world might blow up. The government estimates that the changing demographics in the country will cost us 6 times more than what this little crisis we went through.
Now, by the way, these two books he just mentioned, Unintended Consequences and Defining Moment, they're not like huge textbooks. They're very user-friendly books.
These are 101 reads.
Yeah.
They're about 175 pages each. you can get them through our website, or they might even be able to contact you.
Sure, they can call our office.
You can get it at Yahoo. You can get it on Borders, on their website. You can call us here at the office, and we can send you out the books. But the books are just the starting point. The Defining Moments book is about the 10 things you need to know about. It's the thought process in your life and what you need to do. Then we discussed the first two defining moments just recently. The last book, called The Family Legacy, talks about investing back into the family. Now, I've got some exciting news for your listeners, too. On February 10th, we're going public with EDU, which is Education Discovery and Understanding. There'll be a separate website for EDU at Wealth and Wisdom. And these are actual courses that will, the things we talked about today, how to prepare yourself for a better future. These are purely educational, no affiliation to company or products or an industry. And you'll be able to purchase in and go through the Institute and make yourself a better life. I need everybody in America to understand how money works in their lives, because that's the only thing that's going to save us. So we have some exciting things on the horizon.
I know we've been talking about them, Lynn, and I know we got about a minute left. What are other sources they can go to? They can get the two books. They can call our office.
Right.
Is there a website they can go to?
They can go to Wealth and Wisdom, WealthandWisdomInc.com, and go through our website. They can contact us, contact me through that website. And then we have a toll-free number if you want to
go ahead.
Call and discuss books. It's 1-866-895-5947, and we would be more than happy to fulfill anything that you need from the Institute, and maybe even discuss EDU with you, because this is going to be a life-changing event for everybody.
I know we're talking more about it. Lynn, I got to cut you short here. I appreciate so much you coming on and taking the time. It's been a wonderful show. We'll get you a copy of it. Ladies and gentlemen, this show will be on iTunes right after the holiday, so you can refer to it. And if you have any information you want to get from Lynn, you can also get a hold of us. We have a direct line to him. Lynn, thank you for your time.
Paul, thank you very much.
It's been great. Appreciate it. Have a wonderful day.